All right, my name's Rabia, and I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery. And it's funny because I was listening to a podcast. I'm working the steps again with a sponsor, my second time, and you'll hear more about my history with the steps, inshallah, God willing. And I was as the, like it was a great podcast that I was asked to listen to as part of the step work, step four. And I just was writing a bunch of stuff down, and he described people who were in my situation, which I'll describe in a minute. And I was like, I said to myself, I really would like to share on that. So the next, and I had, this is day five of abstinence. This meeting doesn't have an abstinence requirement for sharing. So I, when it was asked today if somebody could share, I put my hand up because I was literally just thinking, I really want to share about my experience with the steps or not with the steps. So I have a birth, I have my 59th birthday is coming up in September, God willing. You know, so I was born in 65, and you know, only child of older parents, and I wasn't quite your average cat, you know, in a lot of ways. And it, like in some ways I was sort of hyper skilled, and in other ways I was really just behind. And you know, along with that came, all, you know, probably a mounting anxiety and mounting sense that something wasn't quite right. And I started reaching for the food really young. You know, and I look back at pictures of myself when I was a kid, and my weight was sort of up and down. It like a lot more on the upside. Like at times I was like full on fat, and other times I was a little chunky, and other times I wasn't, like I was not overweight at all. And I have no memory of, like, I don't think anybody was putting me on a diet. Maybe my mother was, and she never told me. But you know, I don't know. I just like I loved the food holidays. I loved Halloween, Thanksgiving, not so much. Christmas, of course. Cookies, cookies, excuse me, sorry, trigger food, trigger food, trigger food, trigger food, you know, of the of a very common kind. I in the first time I remember observing myself, you know, kind of going back and forth to the fridge was in grade school, but it didn't bother me because I didn't feel sick afterwards, and it was actually meat that I was eating, you know, but it was cured meat, you know, and we know what's in cured meat. But you know, I did it a couple times and then I stopped. I didn't feel any more need. And you know, junior high rolled around, and you start having to shift from sort of being in that fantasy kid world to the real world of social interaction. And I could see that wasn't going to go very well. And I remember the first time my eating disturbed me. I was making a circuit from the living room. I call it the loop. The loop between the kitchen, where there was a jar of trigger food sitting on the counter, and back to the TV room, kitchen. TV room, kitchen, TV room. And I saw that it was out of control and it scared me. But hey, you know, there was a fix for the weight I was gaining, and it was a 1200 calorie a day diet for a 13-year-old. This was back in 1979. I certainly hope doctors know better now, because this was handed to me by my pediatrician. You know, I did the calorie run calculation for a 13-year-old of my size and weight at the time, because I actually still remember that. And it's way, even to lose weight, it's way above 1,200 calories. It's like basically 1,200, 13-year-old and 1,200 calorie a diet is malnourished. It makes me mad. Anyway, so, but I got it in my head that I could fix it. Just, you know, fix it with a diet, you know, fix it with eating normally, and you'll be fine. I got thinner and thinner. I started heading towards anorexia because, like, again, the social pressures mounting, the school pressures were mounting, the pressure to perform. I was always good at school. I'm autistic, so we tend to have, like, a lot of us have areas where we seem to excel, and other areas where, like, we're like way behind. And you know, I didn't know I was autistic. Again, this is 40 years ago, 40, 50 years ago. So, you know, I went like I had the control over my weight, and then I didn't, and I started binge eating with a vengeance in junior high, and that it terrified me. But it terrified me because I was afraid of getting fat, not because of health effects, you know, not because it seemed. It terrified me also that feeling of being out of control of my behavior that did scare me, but I just kept doing it, you know. I kept doing it, and I got fat. It's shocking, you know. You'll never guess what happened next. And then I went on medication that also like increased the tendency to be overweight. So I stayed kind of that size more or less for a couple of years. And then I picked up booze a few years later, and food wasn't such an issue anymore. You know, I sort of changed chairs on the Titanic. I had several years where I basically just sort of went towards full-blown alcoholism, and I stopped drinking and came into AA in 2001, and I got sober right away, and I stayed sober. And you'll never guess what happened next. I went back to eating, and but I was young, you know, and I was binge eating, and then I kind of left off of it, and I got to a reasonable weight, and I just did what I call functional overeating, like just always with the sugar, especially at meetings, you know, and I'd go into like a food coma. That was how I regulated my emotions. Now, I'm in AA, right? You think, oh, you know, did you work the steps? Nope, didn't work the steps. And by the time I got sober, I had plenty of wreckage and plenty of resentments and plenty of not knowing what the heck was wrong with me at base. Because it was more than what they were telling me. Oh, it's just alcoholism. I'm like, oh, there's something else going on here. I don't know what it is, but there's something else going on. Socially, I was like, my life got real small and stayed small. In fact, I think it got smaller as I stayed sober. You know, my life basically became work, meetings, occasionally kind of taking care of my mom from a distance. That's a step nine I can never make now. You know, and just basically just living this like little hermit crab of a life, you know, scuttling around. And, you know, the group that I was affiliated with, they poo-pooed step work. You know, and it blows my mind now because I like some of those people, I'm like, yeah, you know, you didn't do any steps and it showed the whole time. But again, because I wasn't doing it. It was okay, you know. Hey, you know, we don't need no stick and steps. We'll talk about our inventory with our sponsor. And to be, I did talk about some of my inventory and some of the things that I really were kind of deep dark secrets with my first sponsor, with all of them really. And you know, that was always worthwhile. But no formal step work, no digging into saying, you know, like what went on in this situation, and why am I still holding on to it? You know, and here's, and it came up really bad with my family, like extended family. I don't have any brothers and sisters. My parents are both dead. So I have extended cousins and stuff, and aunts and uncles, most of whom are dead now, but the cousins are still very much alive and kicking. I have a son, like a biological son, but we have been in contact, but right now we're not. I don't know if that's, I had, like, I don't feel like I have any amends to make over that. I've already made amends to him, and he'll knock on the door if he's going to. That's God's will. But my cousins, man, like I was a completely uncaring family member. Like I didn't care. I was indifferent. And some of it was, a lot of it was due to resentments because some of them didn't include me, you know? And there are, I know what that's about. I have a pretty good idea of what that's about today. They didn't understand me. I'm autistic. And like I said, like I didn't present as anything that anybody had, you know, before say 2016 would have recognized as autistic, except another autistic person. Years, decades of therapy, medication, this is wrong with you, that's wrong with you, and none of it ever addressed anything. At best, like the pills kind of took the edge off a little bit, but then they caused other problems. And you know, I just that like at base, I have like depression and that stuff goes along with autism a lot of times. But given a pill to cure what at base is autism, good luck with that. Not going to work. So I ate. I held on to my resentments. I became like at work, I got nuttier and nuttier at work as my income went up. Like as I like reached for higher goals with in terms of career, things just got like, I got crazier because the pressure was mounting, see, and the food wasn't working. You know, it wasn't working to take the edge off the way it would have years ago. And I would get these romantic, I'll call them romantic, just to not be haram from the Islamic perspective, obsessions, usually with married men at work. Horror show. And they were not, nothing ever happened. They were never consummated, not even close, but just in my head, there was always a reason for another resentment. And today, listening to that podcast, the speaker talked about someone who he was working steps with, who was 23 years sober in AA and who had never worked the steps. Dude was ready to take his own life. I was like, no kidding. So wasn't I. So wasn't I. You know, crazy as a loon, you know, and thank God this guy's apparently he worked the steps and it turned around for him. Thank you, God. But and thank you, God. Same here, you know. And I finally had to leave that last job in 2019. I think part like we can call it autistic burnout, but we can also call it just being crazier and crazier from never working a program of recovery. You know, just sitting in an AA room and calling meeting attendance and talking with the sponsor, calling that recovery. And from my experience, it ain't recovery. You won't even get close. Same thing with therapy. Therapy to me is not about really looking at oneself and one's character defects. You know, you like to me that you don't really do that in therapy. At least that's not been my experience. You know, it's for other, I think it's good for other things. You know, if you have like a trauma background or something, it can help you cope with that. So, you know, 2019, I started traveling through South America, you know, spending money like a, frankly, a drunken sailor. And, you know, I had come back to OA, you know, and I was still going to AA a little bit. I don't feel the need to go to AA anymore. I do have an OA meeting a day. And I think I tentatively started working the steps one time with an OA sponsor, but it was out of the OA workbook. And I just felt like what they were asking me the same questions over and over and over again. I was like, I'm never going to get this done. You know, how do you account for step four with, you know, with 50 plus years of resentments behind you? And the book didn't really explain how to do that. So that got abandoned. I wasn't ready to do it. I wasn't. You know, and I started binge eating again. And I hadn't binge, I binged a little bit when I first got sober and then I left off. But like in 2021, that started up again and it got really scary. And like my digestive system is not what it was. And when I would binge, it would just, a lot of times it would make me really sick. One time I think I was pretty much ready for the emergency room, but I didn't go. And it just got, that got scarier and scarier. And, you know, I arrived in Spain where I live now in 2022 in January. And long story short, 2 months later, it's a whole other story. I converted to Islam. I finally had a God. You know, I never had a God when I was in AA, and I really never had one before that. You know, I was always like, pray to Saint Anthony if you lose something, you know, and Saint Anthony. Now,
That's
God,
amazing.
okay, God was always there, you know, ready to help and ready to watch me and in watching me and making sure I was going to be okay, to some extent, and also let me, you know, handed me the paddy wagon a few times, like many times in my life, and I couldn't see it. But I got a God. And you know, I realized there was one. That's a better way of putting it. And a few months later, I started working the steps with a sponsor from the OA Big Book, and from the AA, excuse me, from the AA Big Book, and within OA, and that was immensely helpful. Now, have I been abstinent since that time? Nope, I have 5 days. You know, but now what's like I. And I, the last time I had a pretty bad binge in April of this year. And you know what that was? Steps one and step three. See, that's what's beautiful. Once you work the steps, and if you do relapse, I think you can look back and say, that one and that one. That's where I went wrong. Step three was I wasn't turning my will and my life over in all the areas, you know, and I got like at the end of the culmination of one of those processes that did not go my way. Out I went to binge eat. I was like, yep, see, you didn't ask for help in that situation. You got slammed, boom, back to, you know, running back to mama fridge. And step one, meaning I was ignoring, I wasn't taking my food plan as seriously as I should. And that happened again. I realized the other day I was doing it again in an area because I was having wicked bad cravings. I was like, what am I doing wrong? Am I setting myself up? As a matter of fact, I was. So, back to the drawing board. I tightened up the food plan a little bit, and guess what? A lot fewer cravings. That's all I've done is tighten up that food plan. And I talked about what I didn't even have a relapse. I just wasn't abstinent because I wasn't following my own food plan. Like, oh yeah, maybe like looking at the fridge on the list on the fridge every day is a good idea. So I've started doing that, God willing. And so I finally worked the steps. Thank you, God, I'm a lot saner today. And those cousins that I had left alone, I have made contact with them again, two of them.
15 minutes, Rebecca.
And things look pretty good in terms of those relationships, but it's one day at a time. But I think we might stay connected this time and see. I see my mistakes, and that's the difference. I don't always put it on them as not having accommodated me or whatever. I could say a lot more about it, but I'm at time, so I'm going to be quiet. And your feedback is welcome. Thank you.